Matthew chapter 6. We're getting back to the Sermon on the Mount. And we're going to pick things up at verse 19 of Matthew 6, where Jesus begins to address either a popular or an unpopular topic, depending on your point of view. Matthew 6, beginning at verse 19, I'm reading as I usually do from the English Standard Version. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Lord, as we get into your word together, I would ask again that the words that are heard would be yours and that mine wouldn't get in your way. Speak to us, and by your Spirit, give us hearts ready to respond to you in Jesus' name. Amen. By most of the world's standards, we are a fabulously wealthy nation. Now, maybe you've never thought of yourself in those terms before, as fabulously wealthy. Would anyone here describe themselves as fabulously wealthy? You're afraid we're going to take another offering, right? We are much, much more wealthy, all of us, than most of the world's population. God has blessed us with a disproportionate share of wealth, and most of the time we take it for granted. Well, as we turn our attention back to the Sermon on the Mount, and as Jesus deals with what it means to live a life of blessing in a world that's broken, he turns his attention to money, wealth, treasure. And once again, he takes the way that people would normally think and kind of turns it on end. When it comes to money and wealth, it turns out, if we believe Jesus, that it comes down to some simple but difficult choices. And briefly, we want to take a look at those this morning. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. Choose your treasure. There are lots of possibilities. Just all kinds of treasures that you could choose to store up. Choose to value. What treasure will I seek? What treasure do I really want? What do I consider treasure? Jesus gives us some very, very helpful tips. He says, don't lay up treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. Is your treasure secure? or can it be destroyed? Is it subject to rust or moths? Some of you know that part of my heritage is Scottish. And I still have at home a tartan tie that I no longer wear. And the reason I no longer wear it, it's a wool tie and the moths got to it. In spite of that wool tie being in a cedar-lined closet, the moths found it. And I don't have a tie. Good thing. There are little holes in it now where the moths ate it away. But it was a treasure, and my wife can tell you about me and treasures. I'm reluctant to throw things away. God bless me with a wife who is not like me. Valerie has a gift of throwing things away.
Recycle. Just don't throw him away.
No. Recycle. I recycle. I keep telling her I recycle. Valerie collects old batteries, you know, old worn-out batteries, so she can turn them into the recycling. I tell her, you know, you can take that thing, you can toss it outside in the ground, because everything in that battery came out of the ground, right? And she says, no. So we have this jar of no longer any good batteries that eventually will get to the recycling center. Some things we value are destructible. They don't last. And Jesus said, you know, if you're gonna have treasure, choose a treasure that can't be destroyed. Choose something that's eternal. Well, if I choose an eternal treasure, that eliminates an awful lot of stuff, doesn't it? And think about just what is in this building right now. What is there that's going to last forever? We got some nice new carpeting, but I suspect it will not last forever. However, the next carpet replacement project, somebody else will be in charge. Right, Todd?
Yes, sir.
It won't last forever because we walk on it and eventually it'll wear out. And these nice old pews, they won't last forever. And those shelves of books in the library, they won't last forever. And the chairs in the classrooms and downstairs, they won't last forever.
Nothing lasts forever.
Jenny, all that stuff in your office, it's not going to last forever.
Praise God.
It's all destructible. The only thing in this church right now that's going to last forever is what? Us. Whoa. Okay. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. Because that treasure won't last and you will. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Don't choose what can be destroyed. And don't choose what can be stolen. You ever had someone steal something from you? Now, I'm going to date myself here. When I was much younger, I had in my car an aftermarket tape deck. You old enough to remember those? The old 8-tracks. And then we made such a leap forward that we got rid of the eight tracks and started using cassettes. I went through three of those. Three tape decks. Tape decks that I put in my car and somebody else took out of my car. One of them, I was even at a church conference in Fresno, California. And while I was in a conference session, someone broke into my car and helped themselves to a tape deck. I was not happy. It doesn't feel good to have something stolen from you. A year or two ago, my daughter and her husband had somebody climb in through a slightly open window in the house and make off with primarily a pile of paperwork that would be totally useless to them, but was valuable to them. It didn't feel good. It's not nice to have somebody invade your space and take your stuff, because it's stuff that you value, and that's what treasure is. It's what you value. Well, I looked at those wires hanging down under the dash, connected now to nothing, and I had to ask myself, is this what I love? Is this what I love? Well, no, but I kind of liked it. Is it what I love, or can I let it go? A long time ago, someone tried to recruit me for a different kind of career. I was teaching at the time and enjoying teaching. Teaching at a Christian school where we received slave wages. And this individual thought that I would make a wonderful life insurance salesman. I wasn't so sure that they were right, but I thought at least the argument is worth listening to. And so I met with this individual and his boss two or three times until I discovered something that in that particular company at that particular time and in that particular position, in order for me to succeed, I would have to love money. Because it was all about making a lot of it. And I remember walking out of one of those meetings with that fresh realization in my mind, rescuing my car from a parking garage where I barely had enough money to pay the parking charge, and realizing that I am not motivated by money. It turns out that's a good thing. I wasn't convinced at the time that it was a good thing, but it really is a good thing. And it was certainly an important thing for me to find out about myself at that point in my life. That I was being asked to seek a treasure that for me was not a treasure. The Greek word that's used here for treasure is the same word from which we get the word thesaurus. In fact, if you read the word in Greek, it sounds like thesaurus, which is a depository of valuable words. And the word actually was used to talk about a receptacle in which you put valuable things. Treasure. Your treasure. So how do I determine what's valuable? See, before I can really choose my treasure, I have to choose my criteria, my standards for determining what's a treasure and what isn't. So Jesus launches into this illustration. He says, the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light, but if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. How great is the darkness if that's the case? What's he talking about? Well, how do you and I determine value? Most of the time, how do we determine what's valuable? We look at it, and we evaluate what we see, and we say, yeah, that's valuable. But Jesus says, you know what? Maybe what your eyes see is not accurate. Is this light and darkness illustration that Jesus uses. Light of the body is the eye. That's how we perceive stuff. But what if what we're perceiving is actually different than reality? What if what I see is not quite real? Okay, some of you are having trouble tracking with me here. Let me give you an illustration. A few years ago, Malcolm had cataract surgery. It was a good thing, as I had reached a point in my life where night driving had become a dangerous thing for me and even more dangerous for those who might be driving around me. And so I started avoiding driving at night. So I got myself into an ophthalmologist. And I figured, you know, the doctor is going to take a look at my eyes and he's going to say, yeah, you know, maybe we're getting close to the time when you ought to do something about that. That wasn't exactly what he said. And I remember exactly what he said. What he said, as he looked into my left eye, was, oh yes, that's ready. And I thought, oh, oh yes, that's ready. So he scheduled me for surgery on, well, both eyes, but the left eye first. And I went in and had that cataract removed. And as the vision began to come back to that eye, I was astounded because the world looked different. And what I discovered was that what I had been seeing was a whole lot less than real. What I was seeing had been clouded and faded. And now all of a sudden things were much clearer and the colors were vivid. And life was a different kind of an adventure. If the light that you think you're getting turns out to be darkness, you've got a problem. Like I had a problem with my vision, physically and literally. There is a real difference between what we perceive and what is actually real. Let me rephrase that. There might be a real difference between what we perceive and what is actually real. If we're infected by darkness instead of light, if what we're perceiving is less than real. So when it comes to evaluating what's valuable, I need to use a standard that is real. That's part of why Jesus talks about laying up treasure in heaven and not laying up treasure on earth, and avoiding what's destructible or subject to theft. Well, what is the one standard for value that doesn't change? What is the one standard for value that's real? What has God said about what's valuable? If I build my life that way, if I set my treasure based on what God has said is valuable, then I'm on pretty sound ground. If I don't, maybe I'm in trouble. Choosing your treasure, choosing your standard. When I do that, I'm choosing my master as well. Jesus gets to verse 24, and he assumes as true something that an awful lot of people simply ignore. No one can serve two masters, or either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. Really, two things that Jesus is assuming. First of them is that treasure is going to become your master. What you treasure will become your master. Henry David Thoreau, whose theology I hate, but whose writing I love, said, among other things, men have become the tools of their tools. Men have become the tools of their tools. The tools that we use, that were supposed to be our servants, have become our masters and we serve them. World's full of examples of that. Jesus simply assumes that's true. What you treasure is going to be your master. And the second truth that he states is you can only have one master. It's simply not possible to love and serve more than one master. You'll end up loving one and hating the other, Jesus says. Really? Is it that simple? Well, yeah, I think it is. I think it actually is. See, this matter of living a life of blessing in a broken world, it is simple. Now, don't get that mixed up with being easy. It is not easy. It's simple, as in not complex. It is not easy, it's difficult. Because it goes against the grain of sin in our lives, and it goes against the grain of the culture in which we live, because the world around us is broken. So Jesus tells those folks on the side of the mountain, you can't serve two masters. You can end up either hating one and loving the other, or loving the one and despising the other. And then he flat out says, you cannot serve God and money. You have heard it said that money is the root of all evil. It's a lie. Well, it's a misquotation. That's not what Scripture says. Scripture says the love of money is the root of all evil. The challenge is that you and I actually have to deal with money. It's part of the reality of the world in which we live. We have to deal with wealth to one degree or another, no matter how much or how little of it we have. It's there. It's part of what we have to deal with. The question we have to settle for ourselves is whether we're going to love money and use God, or whether we're going to love God and use money. There's a world of difference. A world of difference. Jesus says you can't love and serve both. Won't work. And what does that mean? What does that mean day to day? You know what? Not my job to tell you that. My job is to tell you that Jesus Christ is Lord. And if Jesus Christ is Lord in your life, then Jesus Christ is going to be Lord of your money as well. He's going to be the Lord of whatever he has entrusted to you. And we talked about this a week or two ago, remember? If he's Lord, he owns it all. Everything. That's really what stewardship is all about. We become managers and not owners. It's all his. No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Some of us have trouble letting go when it comes to material wealth. I mean, letting go of its power over us and of our need for it. I grew up poor. I don't know about you. I considered that I grew up poor. I discovered, actually a few years after the fact, that one year when I was in elementary school, my family was the beneficiary family of the school's Christmas program. Life was tough. Tough for my folks. They had a lot of illness that year to deal with. A lot of expense. And maybe you've gone through stuff like that as well. And you've come through it. You've come out of it. And there's something in your head that says, I need to control this area of my life because I don't want to go back there. I understand that because I've been there. But I don't want you to miss what I did not yet read, but what Jesus said next. Would you look at it with me? Verse 25. Therefore, Therefore, based on what Jesus has said, you can't serve God and money. I tell you, do not be anxious. Don't be anxious. When I listen for God's voice, I don't know what it's like in your life, but the phrase I hear most often from the Lord are these two words, trust me. Trust me. And my encouragement to you, when it comes to money and wealth, however much or however little God entrusts to you, is that you will be able to trust Him. Because you can't serve it and Him at the same time. You can use it and love and serve Him. That you can do. But you can't serve both. Do not be anxious. Trust me. We're going to get into that next passage in a couple of weeks. Can't wait. It's good stuff. It really does boil down to a matter of choice, doesn't it? Choosing your treasure and choosing your standard and choosing your master. And it's a choice that is terribly important if you want to live a life of blessing in this broken world. Lord, nothing compares with you. With your Spirit's help, Lord, enable us to live that way, knowing that nothing compares with you. Let us go, Lord, as those who love and serve you and who are ready to use for your glory whatever you entrust. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.